I'm frightened, okay? There's a ghost bed in my bedroom. Ghostbed.com/Norton. Promo code Norton. Upgrade your sleep with Ghostbed. We have one in the bedroom. It truly is phenomenal and cooling. The makers of the coolest beds in the world. Some exclusions apply. See site for details. Thank you, Ghostbed. Good news. Daddy's on the road with a brand new hour. It's all new material. I can't say it. It's November 7th, 8th, Batavia, Illinois. How about just not Chicago? I'm going to Portland, Eugene, Bend, Huntington, New York, Newton, New Jersey, Bangor, Maine. I'm doing Foxwoods in Connecticut. And then I finish up the year at the Wilbur in Boston. And then early next year, I have Sellersville, Pennsylvania. I believe that's right outside of Philly in January. Then I'm making it my Bakersfield date. And I'm doing Vegas in February. JimNorton.com/tour for tickets. It's a new hour of material. And it's very funny, I've been told.
Jim Norton can't save you. Jim Norton is a train wreck. Jim can't help you solve your own problems. Jim is an idiot.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'm really happy. It's funny, when you walked in, the first thing you asked me was if I saw the Aussie doc. You watched it?
I watched it, yeah.
How
very,
was it?
Very, very sad.
It is, right?
It's so sad, yeah. It also makes you feel like, I hope that when you know you're dying, that like you could be that. I feel like I'd be an emotional wreck all the time.
Yes.
He was just kind of annoyed by it.
Good for us.
He really was like annoyed by it, and like we kind of laughed through some of it. But like you definitely also saw like his like, it was like one day he was in his mind, he was like jumping around on stage, and the next day we're like, you'll never do that ever again.
Yeah.
And it was over.
I haven't watched. It's too sad for me. Like I can't watch. I can't even listen to him on my phone. Like every time Sabbath or Ozzy comes up, it'll change. I know.
Sure.
But I mean, right now it's just, I can't even think about. I talked to Florentine. He's like, yeah, I got to watch it anyway. It'll make me too depressed.
It's a bummer.
It is a
bummer.
But
I said it also like, but it's, you know, it ends triumphant. It kind of shows like everything, you know, that big last concert coming together and everything, and how excited everybody was for it.
It's one of the, I'm so happy we went. Like, again, it was one of those things where, you know, like, I don't feel like I'm in England, but I'm like, I know that they'll never do it again.
Of course, yeah, that was definitely it. And it was great, right?
Yeah.
It was so amazing.
It was unbelievable, especially to see all the people just happy to pay tribute to Sabbath and Ozzy. It was really nice. Metallica.
Seeing Tool during the day makes you realize why you have to see them at night indoors. That whole show falls to pieces when it's just like, hey, just sing your song, man.
They were very, what did they cover? Everyone had some really interesting covers.
He did Crazy Train on when he did the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
Maynard did Crazy Train. Yeah. I'm not sure what they did on this one.
And
maybe Children of the Grave, I think it may have been.
Metallica did Johnny Blade. It was all this weird, like,
yeah.
these kind of B tracks that you don't hear Sabbath ever playing.
I'll never forget. That's what I thought was one of the coolest things ever. I opened for you, Jesus Christ, 23-24 years ago.
That's TLA in 2001.
And I know you come out to a National Acrobat.
Yeah.
By Sabbath. That was the song you come out to. And it was such a great, it's a great walkout song.
It's a great walkout song. I think at that point, I don't know if I was using that. The ones I've walked out to is that. I used The Game by Disturbed at one point. But National Acrobat was the one I used for the longest. It's an amazing.
Well, it's time, you know, Black Sabbath's timeless. Disturbed, why I like Disturbed is, are they hilariously, like, that's music like, once you're not mad at your dad anymore, it's over.
Yeah.
It is a funny, I always, those bands like, is it Papa Roach, another band that's got stuck, like, most of their famous songs have some part in the middle of it where they start crying about their mother being mean to them. And then you're like, you shouldn't have to do that when you're male pattern bald. You know, it's like, these guys are like adults.
Yeah. It is. I always think of that with songs with the word teenagers in, like, I'm a rebellious teenager.
Yeah.
How do you sing that when you're 50?
I said Marilyn Manson still does Disposable Teens. We're Disposable Teens. He goes, you weren't even a disposable teen when you wrote that.
Although he can pull it. For some reason, Manson doesn't. I don't know why, because he's just so crazy that I just kind of, whatever he's doing.
Sure. Well, it's a show. It's a complete character straight through. It's almost like Slipknot. They're ageless too because they're all wearing the masks. It works still.
It's funny. I just saw a Larry King clip where he was talking to Corey, and Corey had on the mask, and Larry was just saying what a frightening, and it really was creepy. Like when you look at him sitting there in the mask, it was like, yeah, that's creepier than just a frightening mask.
No, they did it like, that was such a smart move, that band. And they never age. Doesn't matter what, every time they go out, it looks exactly the same.
I know, it's like ICP, except for the fact that, he lost all the weight.
Violent J.
Violent J lost all. He looks great. He's out here with Sarah. What a fucking life that guy's leaving.
Sarah Russi. I know.
Wait, what a life that guy's leaving. Like, I'm implying that he's dropping dead. He's living a very good life now. He's skinny. His fucking girlfriend is hot.
I know. They're having like a, like Insane Clown Posse. I think my daughter and her friend who are in their 20s are going to dress up as them for Halloween. They're almost having a resurgence. That's another age thing that fucking feels weird and sucks. Like, within my time of comedy, bands have gone from like, I was going to see them in a contemporary fashion. Deftones are a good example. Contemporary. And then I watched, seen the Deftones through the years at Pier 17, small places because they were falling off.
Yep.
And nothing changed. And then they got in the background music of TikTok. My daughter said that's why. They get in the background music of TikTok and they have a full renaissance resurgence of Deftones now doing arenas again. And it just seems like that's all, again, let's say blink of an eye, shit. You're like, what?
It does make you feel old when you're like, bands that I liked while they were, like you said, contemporary. And then all of a sudden they do go away.
Yeah.
And then they're coming back kind of like as a nostalgia thing. Like, oh.
Or the ones that never went away are the more sad, like seeing Def Leppard. You're like, Christ almighty.
Yeah.
He was so cool, that lead singer at one point. Rock of Ages, he had his bandana on backwards around his neck. They were so cool. And to see him now, it's just decrepit.
When guys try to keep us sexy, your song's been stuck in my head for a month. Rod Stewart, Do You Think I'm Sexy? I just heard it one day and I just downloaded it on my fucking Spotify. And that shit line of, we're out of milk and coffee. Never mind, honey. We can watch the early movie. And I'm like, oh. It's been in my fucking head constantly and I hate it.
Oh, the lyrics in general. Such a funny fucking, how much I love them, how much lyrics have affected me.
Yeah,
I think about them, have made me sad, tear up, whatever. That
is. Like, what? Which is one that gets you every time?
I mean, just for the most basic level. I mean, the song Hurt for sure, Nine Inch Nails. I mean, there's not a time you can listen to that where like it's not gonna. What is it? You Are Someone Else. I Am Still Right Here.
Yeah.
Is it? If I presented that though to somebody, I'd feel like a queef. Like the fucking jerk off. I would feel like to run that by somebody. He goes, yeah, I wrote some. And every guy who doesn't know you will think it's the coolest thing in the world. But like, knowing that my friends are like, nice song, dildo.
Well, do you like the Nine Inch Nails
version?
Way to
pour your emotions out.
I prefer the Johnny Cash version in the video.
Well, that was so timely because it was like right as he was dying.
Yeah.
It kind of adds up. But I mean, yeah, the Nine Inch Nails one's pretty dark. They always have that weird, like that ominous, like white noise in the background and stuff. But I'm saying it's amazing to do that. Even like love songs. There's love songs that I think are great. Like, what a wonderfully picked lyric, and I think it's great. I don't think it's gay.
Yeah.
But I couldn't have possibly presented it in my life myself.
It's funny with song lyrics, the thing, like, you know what, one that it's very sad? It's a song about soldiers by Motorhead called 1916. Mm-hmm. It's probably my favorite Motorhead song. It's very slow. It's, I think he said they could never do it live because it's like really, there's a, I forget the fucking instrument, but it's like the one they play at the bagpipes.
Oh, yeah.
Bagpipes. But lyrically it's great, but you know that you can't turn people onto that. Like, no woman is gonna like that song.
You know, it's funny, I got to tour with Korn and all that stuff, and like, it is, I just saw them with System of a Down, and System of a Down, like, kind of like, again, it was a shock because they come back and like you see how different, pretty much just the guitar player looks, but like very different,
right?
You see the age for sure. The rest of them look kind of all right. And Korn, when I went out with them in 2010, I was like, I'm with veteran Korn for sure. And it's funny seeing them now, like elder statesmen of metal.
Isn't it weird 15
like
years later?
Gray hair and like, you know, the hair's a little further back. And it's so funny to see it. They still got it. But I mean, like, you just can't fight it.
Does it bother you when they let the hair go? And I think we're done on IG. What's the number? I'll give the number out real quick if they want to call. 720-820-1339 if you want to call. Fuck, 1337 if you want advice. If not, I get it. two old men babbling. Remember that song was good? Did you cry at your prom? We really are a couple of fruits.
I wanted to see if you guys heard about this new Netflix show where they film celebrities' last words to air after you die.
Oh, God, no, but I really hope they ask me to do it soon. No, what is that? Famous last words.
A grammar documentary series spelling renowned cultural icons secretly giving their final interviews, which will be announced and aired posthumously. So wait, so
wow, so you have to know you're dying.
It's being filmed, and then
like they filmed one with Jane Goodall like a year ago and been sitting on it.
Oh, and the last thing she said was, "Their hands make marvelous ashtrays." They're like, "Oh no, she was a fraud."
Oh yeah, something is always jarring. Yeah, I fucked him. That's so funny.
It is kind of funny, and it's morbid, but I think that that's, I get it, but you know, you know that Netflix is then rooting for, like, they probably have one really good one in the can, and they're like, I hope he drops dead soon.
Where does the content stop, you know?
I mean, really, yeah. You have to make sure you get your death. But I've never been like, you've gotten good at it, like, through time with it, but I am, like, the documenting every step of the way. And it's funny, I broadcast pretty much every day of the week, so you are sort of doing that, but, like, the Bert Kreischer-esque, I'm so, like, impressed with it that he thinks to even do that.
Yeah.
Everything I do, I still have, like, a very analog approach of, like, ooh, I'm going to watch this fight and this thing happening on the street and then go back and tell it the way I want to tell it.
Right.
Also, like, you know, more descriptive versus, like, I never think to, like, pull my phone out and, like, let's get this fight on video and stuff. It's more like I'm going to tell the news.
You know what it is? Because I hate people that do it so much. Even though I like to watch it when they do it, I hate them so much. I'm like, I'm pulling it out. I can't be that guy. I'm just like, oh.
It's the same thing with lyrics. It's like, I've other people, you should do it. Let me see your whole goofy life. But, like, please don't ask to see mine.
Yeah.
I have no interest in showing you my dumb life.
You lost so much weight, too. I saw you walk in, man. It's like, I'm jealous because I'm having a hard time with it.
Manjaro, dude. Just get on it.
Does it make you feel sick?
A little bit.
But
nothing that's not worth, like, the... I mean, I guess it could. Like, I did Ozempic first, and that made me feel sicker. That I was, after a while, I was like, I don't know. There's no point in losing weight. I feel sick.
Right, if you don't feel
all
good.
All the time. But Manjaro, I just had, like, you know, a couple times a week for, like, 15 minutes, you might feel nauseous, but, like, that's about all I've
had. Are you still doing it, or do you still have to maintain?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I lowered the dose a little bit for sure, but, like, it works.
What do you, like, what's the best part? Like, for me, it was, like, when I lost a lot of weight, it was buying clothes. Like, I'm looking at your clothes. Like, it's so nice just to walk in and not go, like, all right, how's my fucking, are my tits going to show in this?
I still feel like that completely, though.
Oh, you still worry?
Especially, like, upper body. Well, that's the other thing, too. I was never thin, ever. So, as I'm losing weight, it's like everything's like, that's what's happening. Now you're becoming like you wear what John Goodman looks like under the suit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, am I all origamied under a shirt into a place? So that's what it's the scary part. Is like that where you're like, now I feel like people see like things are like floppy.
Oh,
so you have
yeah.
to like exercise a bunch with it.
Yeah, but it's you get addicted to the compliments too. You get addicted to people going, fuck man, you look really good. Like,
oh yeah, yeah,
that,
for
it's
sure.
Hard to, it, and then that stops. You know what
and
I mean?
Then usually I would gain weight when that stops. Yeah, every time exactly in my life I would gain a little bit of weight and people are like, dude, you look fantastic. You're like, wow, might as well treat myself tonight.
Exactly. It's working. And I'm telling you, like last night I was at the Cellar and I'm like self-conscious because I put on like 20 and Keith comes in within 3 minutes, you're fat. And I'm like, ah, he really is like an id.
Like, oh, he's crazy.
He's like, but he's usually right.
Dude, he came to my house to watch the opening Eagles Cowboys game. I go, you know, he's crippled. So he can't go up any steps or anything. I have to take him through my garage straight out back to the pavilion outside that has a fireplace, refrigerator, and TV. Outside. And he sits down, his first 55-inch screen TV, outdoors. He sits down and he goes, could your TV be smaller? And it was the only thing the rest of the night for me. I go... And Bobby chimes in, of course, he goes, it's fine, but like it could fill the space a little bit more. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I guess it could.
It is weird when someone gets to the guts of what's bugging you about something.
Like, I even thought it was a little small when I bought it.
Yeah.
But fucking Christine said it was good.
And he says it, and you're like, yeah. I fucking knew it.
It just makes you mad at your chick.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Real nice, idiot. I told you this thing was too small.
I love how much you broadcast, by the way. I love it. Like, I was thinking to you before, like, you do Story Wars, by the way, is a huge hit. That's a really good podcast. Of course, you do The Bonfire 4 days a week and Legion of Skanks. Is there anything else I'm missing or no? Is it just those?
No, and then now I started doing live streams. Try to get, like, once a weekend, just kind of sitting at home and doing it. See if people are enjoying that at all.
It's nice just to go on and talk, right?
It is cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I really, again, with not being up on the thing, everyone's like, you're stupid. You should take it. Because when I was doing the live streams, people were like donating. And people are going like $50 and stuff like this. And I go, stop treating me like a whore.
Yeah.
I'm just doing this to keep you guys entertained, so you buy tickets to my live show. And they're like, you're the best, dude. $100. You're like, please stop.
Yeah.
I was like, it feels fucking weird. But then what's funny is, again, you get addicted to the weird things.
Sure.
So by about the fourth one I did, they're stopping. Or they're doing like, you know, a dollar or so it like shows up in the, you know, so you see it, like it highlights. And now I'm almost like, shit, I mean, guys were coming with $100 last time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what this is all about. What did I, am I falling off?
Am I falling off, or are you guys just cheap and you're taking me for granted?
Just doing exactly what I told you to do. Yeah. Or are you doing exactly my request of not sending me money like a whore?
But then they don't send it. You're like, oh, I should have shut my fucking mouth.
What the fuck am I doing? What am I, too good for this money?
And by the way, if anybody's noticing on the video in the back, you see people, you probably think we're being burglarized. There's a leak downstairs. And so they think it's coming from the outside, like a crack in the concrete or whatever. So there's guys outside and they're running. They're like filling things with water, seeing if they can see. So I forgot to mention that people see guys in hoodies behind us. Shopping for a mattress without expert guidance. It's like asking me for medical advice. Very smart. Wait, sorry, I misread that, guys. It's not going to end well. Cut that. Fix it. Because everything, you know, as far as I'm concerned, a discreetly placed finger solves all medical issues. That's why Ghostbed recently redesigned their mattress quiz to take the guesswork out of mattress shopping. You answer a few quick questions about yourself and your sleep style. You're going to get a clear, reliable recommendation in just minutes. You can even take the quiz with your partner. So instead of just kind of arguing about who's right, you find a bed that's suited for both of you. Because you know she's going to be in the next room. You're laughing, taking the quiz. Oh my God, I haven't answered that. And she's like, what's going on? What's going on? You're like, get in here, stupid. And then you take the quiz together. Then you go out and have sex with one of her friends. Ghostbed's a family-owned company. It's a great line right before that one. Backed by more than 20 years of mattress expertise. They really are great. Every mattress, this is the thing I like the most. It's the cooling features to help regulate your body temperature at night. They're built to last 25-year warranty. And the value, Ghostbed mattress costs up to 50% less than comparable brands. You get a 101-night sleep trial. Fast free shipping. Most orders 2 to 5 days. You could be sleeping better by next week. Right now, as a worshiper, listener, they say, but worshiper of Jim Norton, 25% off site wide. For a limited time, you go to ghostbed.com/Norton. Use the promo code Norton at checkout. Ghostbed.com/Norton. The promo code Norton. Upgrade your sleep. Sleep like daddy does with a ghost bed. The makers of the coolest beds in the world. Some exclusions apply. See site for details. Daddy recommends. The holidays, they sneak up fast. One day you're in July, the next day, oh my God, Christmas is coming. That's how we talk in this house. It's not too early to get your shopping done, and you can actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping really stress-free. I can't say it, but I can do it. And very joyful. I hate the word joyful. It's fun. It's fun. I didn't feel joyful, but I did enjoy it. What a great site this is. They have a lot of very bizarre, uncommon things. There's an F-bomb paperweight that I got that I absolutely love. It's just a giant F, and it's a paperweight, and you can give it to your significant other. And they can go, what does that stand for? And you can go, you know. They have so many crazy, interesting type things. This is why I like this website, because it's not, I'm going to go to the store and just get her a gift like everybody else does. No, get her an F-bomb paperweight, where they have a weird, like, baseball glove coaster set. It's just, is that what it is? It's a coaster set? I fell in love with that thing. I should have bought it right there. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Can we go to the site? I want to show you something I've been looking at. And I want you, this one I want to get. It is a Major League Baseball, what's it called? Sunday Slugger Ceramic Ice Cream Bowl Set. They're shaped like little hats. Like little baseball helmets. You could say, like, hey, the Yankees are playing, and then you could just hand somebody a chilled hat with ice cream in it. I love stuff like this. It's not the same board. What is that ceramic? Major League Baseball Perfect Catch coaster set. Not only are the coasters, they look like little baseballs, but they're sitting in a glove, which is perfect. What are you going to take little baseballs out of a drawer? No, they come in a glove, and then someone goes to put their thing down, and you go, stupid, use a coaster. And then you take out the little glove, and they'll go, oh, my God, if I've ever seen anything cuter, I can't remember when. All right, Uncommon Goods. They look for products that are high quality, very unique, often handmade or made in the U.S. Many of them are crafted by independent artists, small businesses. That's why they're uncommon. People take chances. They got something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens. from book lovers, history buffs, baseball, sports fans, diehard football fans, to foodies, mixologists. I hate mixologists. You're drunks. All right, gardeners, whatever you want, they have something for everyone is basically how you sum this up. Every purchase you make in Uncommon Goods, they give back a dollar to a nonprofit partner of your choice, which I love because they let you choose it. They've donated more than $3 million to date. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you support an artist, small, independent, one more time. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you are supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out. If you don't go and get that little coaster set or the giant F paperweight, for me it would stand for fat and a couple of other things. So shop early, have fun, cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Norton. Uncommongoods.com/Norton for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Is this possibly a fact?
Mangione. Oh, he got beat up by ladyboys in Thailand. How great is that?
Before he shot the guy.
Yeah. Maybe he went for treatment. Or maybe he found out they were all post-op and he was blaming the health company. The health company. Good improv, idiot.
What a great question, though. How many ladyboys did it take to beat you up?
And what did you
in
do?
In Thailand.
What did you do? Because they're usually pretty happy-go-lucky. Like, did he start a fight? Did he grab one of their dicks?
Well, anyone's got the... Said the people that confuse sexual people are the ones that end up doing something nuts. Because they don't know how to deal with their shit, so insult them or something, and then they end up attacking them.
Did you see the video that was going around recently of a guy, and because people said it looked like me, where he's, like, feeling this ladyboy's... penis under the dress, and then he lifts the dress and he tries to stick it in his mouth in the middle of the street. And
really?
You don't see the dick. I guess he appeared to be a little drunk, but people pointed out that he did resemble and behave like me. But it was a weird one that was kind of that was going around.
It's all the rage. Joe DeRosa apparently, was that Shane Gillis keeps saying Joe DeRosa is just almost fully into trans chicks now.
Oh, is he?
Exclusively,
is he,
yeah.
Everybody gets in the building in a very weird way. Like, I was on some radio show and there was a guy and they were like, yeah, he's like, I like them just because they got breasts and a dick. I'm like, all right, you know, welcome to the area.
Whatever your reason is.
However it gets you in.
Well, I've always said it's interesting. I don't have a sexual attraction to trans at all, but on pure, like, just to look at it, pornography, which I look at plenty, like Reddit type stuff,
sure,
where
sure.
You're just kind of going through, it's like typing something strange. The pictures I'm always drawn to are pretty girl tits, monster cock.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know why that's the ones I'd want to look at more than the other one.
I have theories.
Well, it's almost the idea, like, well, if we're going to see it, let's see it.
Yeah, no, I know. But why do I look at cheesecake? Because you're hungry.
What was the girl, she's so pretty, who came into Bonfire once? Emma Rose?
Emma Rose. Very
and
pretty.
But small penis.
Yeah, she's about
part.
Six. I think she's like average. She's not like unreasonably
correct.
Small. Yeah.
Absolutely. But it's like, it's almost like, even though you're not expecting, I said that was funny. She was the example we said when she took her pants off. Like, the whole conversation was about her being trans. Situations involving her being trained, and then still when she took her pants off
yep.
so we could draw her, I was still surprised. I don't know,
like,
you're still,
wow,
you're like,
yeah.
Oh, wow, right. Look at that.
Oh, yeah, there she is right there. She's the second one down. It's funny, this is the second, recently, Krista Stefano brought, and I'm not even the one. Oh, yeah, I did bring it up with that. Oh, no, the ladyboy thing. All right.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't people think I'm just fucking forcing anybody to have these fun
no,
conversations.
No, that was Luigi Mangione got us here.
I know. We've admired his other work, so I didn't think I could love that guy more. He's getting...
But I wouldn't even watch, I wouldn't, but again, also, like I said, the porn, the straight porn that I watch, it's, and people go back, I've heard arguments both directions
sure.
on this too. I'm more for like the fucking, the holy shit of it.
Yeah.
You know, if we're watching, let's watch it. So it's, I don't think I watch any pornography that's got average-sized dicks in it at all.
Nobody wants
monsters.
It should look freakish and large and, like, unrelatable.
And yes, exactly. That's what it goes. Do you put yourself in the position? I go, this girl would never fuck me. I can't put exactly. myself in there.
So I want to see her suffer.
Yeah, I want to be the weird guy in the corner watching her fuck this
sure.
guy.
Sure. You know, that's why every fucking motel has an extra chair. That's for the misbehaving husband. Watch his wife finally be pleasured properly.
The misbehaving husband.
Someone called it, a woman was telling you, I'm going to put you in the cuck chair.
Yeah.
My fucking dick jumped. It was such a funny, like, weird term, but I had never heard it. And when she said cuck chair, I'm like, yeah.
Well, so funny, the first time that term was brought to my attention was when I go on the road, like if I bring a feature or somebody with me, yeah. or Dylan to film for me or something, my hotel just position is, I call it tummy time. I just always, I'm laying like this on the bed and watching my computer and stuff. And if you come to my room to smoke a joint with me and bullshit, or we'll figure out what we're going to do for lunch, I'm going to be laying on the bed. And you'll bring the chair over and sit to the bed. And then whenever we would post something from that online,
yeah, of course. Like,
people, that's the first time I heard someone goes, oh, nice having this guy in the cuck chair over there. I go, and by the way, it wasn't even those, what do you mean? I knew exactly what the second they said, I go, oh, yeah, yeah. I guess it does read that way. Huh?
I get it. Yeah, because cuck chair can really have only one meaning. It's not one of those terms that you can go, what do you mean by cuck chair? It's like, yeah, we all kind of understand what that
they've
is.
They've gotten too... like voyeuristic on the cuckold situation, though, because that's like probably one of my favorite kind of porn to always go to, because one, it's homemade.
Yeah,
I love that.
Love that too.
I love it. It's homemade and it's like a real. I say it's not a girl who's like a half junkie who's gonna regret this later and
yes.
end up killing herself or doing something fucking crazy. This is a lady who's like, I'm in my 40s.
That's right.
I've been married for 20 years. Like, let's live life.
I've been tolerating his dick for 20 years. Let's do this under the guise of art.
But I like. I'm fine with the husband filming it,
yep.
but get bird's eye. Don't make me watch you jerking off to her fucking from across the room. I don't want the cuck view. I want a pornographic view.
I kind of like when the guy, like, because I know it's real, the giveaways, like you'll see the guy pan past a mirror, and you're like, he's a dumpy dude in a fucking long shirt with kind of, you're like, yeah, this is a real couple.
Which is like any, if I've been in, like, you know, two girl and me threesomes before. So, and it is funny, the girls start always, and I said, and there's something about like what sometimes those videos have that makes me laugh in the cuck situations is the husband in the background not doing like reasonable things. Do you know what I mean? Like one of the guys is like backing up and like almost to where he's at. Yeah. He's like, oh, let me get out of your way. Yeah. Like, I see him move around and then also like move a bag that was there also. He's like, no, please. Yeah. This chick's just getting hammered from both ends, and he's like, can I get you guys something to drink? Or
yeah, yeah, he's handling business behind the scenes. Yeah,
everybody's hydrated, right? I only want those pop shots to be big, so if you guys need celery juice or whatever I can help with.
Hey, would you ever do, could you do, I've only had a couple threesomes in my life. Like, I never, like, my life has definitely not been as fortunate as yours. And it was, I watched my one girlfriend suck a dick years ago, and that was kind of, it freaked me out a little bit. Like, I liked it, and then the next time we did it, I got, like, a little jealous. Have you ever done, like, watch it with a guy or only girls?
Me and my ex-girlfriend did a couple swap. We were young. Young. My ex-girlfriend, you know, when I was, like, late teens, and that's such a funny story, because I went into that gung-ho, completely gung-ho. Like, I was like, because what it was like, I was a teenager and she was like, she brought it to me. She was my friend and her boyfriend do this and they want to know if we would want to get it. I'm like, and I saw the friend and I was like, all that was in my head yeah. was fuck, I'm going to fuck this chick. This is great. And we went to this and we ended up going to their motel where they were living at, which tells you a lot. She worked at Kmart with my girlfriend. The guy was, it wouldn't have been so freaky if the guy was young too. The guy was like, almost 30, probably. And the girl was like, you know, 18 or whatever, 19. My girl was 19. And I go, and again, so my girl's 19, I'm like 21, maybe, or 22. And so when we go to this hotel, like, I see the guy's game right away. The older guy has got his girlfriend, like, yeah, this is what we do. And you're like, sure, whatever. But the girlfriend seems like super into it and everything.
Yeah.
And they start hooking up on, the bed. Him and his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And me and my girlfriends are hooking up on the floor. But I mean, in my mind, this is a real kill time.
Sure.
I'm just like, when do we do the old flipperooski yeah. here? And then even when like me and my girl are fucking for a while, my girl goes, I don't know. Like, she's like, should we do this? And I wanted to. So I was like, I mean, we're here. I said, we're here. Yeah. So she was like, all right, fine. And then like the swap came. I saw this guy walk by me. He didn't have a huge dick, so I wasn't even worried.
Sure.
Like, in that regard, I was like, oh, okay, that's not so bad. And then I got up on the bed with this chick, in this, which I found out also as a fat kid, room is much hotter than I thought it was. Like warmer. So I'm profusely sweating. Like, I'm trying to wipe sweat off my face. Just trying to wipe sweat off my face. This guy, by the way, the other guy was in shape.
Yeah, he
was in shape. So at least that. I'm profusely wiping sweat on my face, trying not to get it on her. And then also, we're just like, you know, it's like a physical, not a good match. Like,
yep.
Something about her, I always describe her pussy as like a rubber pussy. It just felt like it just had no grip to it at all. It was there. It was touching all four sides, yep. But it was just like it died.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it. Yeah, there's just no... And then realized very quickly into doing this that she is doing this because he has convinced her to do
this.
That's
right.
And she is exclusively looking over my shoulder, trying to see what's going on there, which is now making me face the reality of looking over my shoulder to see, because they're on the floor and we're on the bed. All I can see is my chick's socked feet up on his shoulders and just her making noises that I don't think I've ever heard her make before personally. Just having a ball. Like really having a good time. My time was miserable. I cried in the car on the way home. I was so mad. But interestingly enough, I don't even know if that's not why I look at that porn and stuff still, because I get that completely.
Sure.
I don't have, me and Christine have done enough stuff with chicks even, you know what I mean? That like, I don't think, and I've been in that situation before with my ex-girlfriend and stuff, and some other things in life, like couple swappy type things before, where it's like, and by the way, I'm not even saying that, when people try to, what do you call that, like normalize something that is extraordinary is so weird. Like,
yes.
What, that's weird?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's
like,
and you know it's a little weird. Yeah.
It's weird. And it's like, especially when you know it's weird. After you come.
Yes.
And then you're like, why are we in the Sterling Avenue Motel?
And he's still fucking. He hasn't come yet.
Dude, being the first one to come is the worst in any situation. Because you're like, so, how long does this normally go for?
Yeah, you're hoping that your girl will go, I'm done too. Let's get out of here. Yeah, but
yeah.
She's not done.
No, she was like, I think he's turning a corner though. Okay, I'll be over here.
Here's why I would never let her fuck. Because I remember one time Florentine and I were on the road, and we just picked up a couple of girls, and I was nervous. I'm fooling around with mine, and I couldn't get it up, and I was just wearing my clothes. And he's fucking this other one, and I mean, he's putting it to her, and I mean, well. And I hear him going, and I couldn't get it up. And I'm like, that showed me I can never let a girlfriend fuck another guy in there. Because she wasn't my girlfriend, so I didn't care.
Sure.
But I could never watch that because I wouldn't be able to get it up with the other girl. I'd be too nervous or too jealous.
Yeah, that's got to be a tough one, I suppose. But like to me, watching that kind of stuff, though, definitely made it so like I could definitely have like, I'd be more annoyed with like, everybody in your life going like, dude, your chick does porn. I'd be like,
yeah,
I kind of think, I don't know why I think it's hot, but like, yeah. I do. It's like, hey, that's my chick's like doing porn. That's what I'm saying. So like, I could wrap my brain around the idea of my girlfriend like fucking other people. Like, I would be less jealous being there than being like, yeah, do your thing on your own. If it was like my girl, you know what I mean? Like,
that's a little much. Yeah.
I don't know if I could necessarily like lose my shit over either. I also just been through enough situations that I said that the most interesting thing of all of it, no matter how outlandish or weird it is, especially if it's with your significant other, is that like people, especially that have never done it, I'm like, I'm not saying to do anything like that, but if you do it, I think you'll be surprised. If everyone's into it, I think you'll be surprised that when afterwards you're doing something very normally ho-hum, oh, grab the peanut butter pretzels.
Yeah.
And bring them out here. We're going to watch, there's a new episode of South Park on. After that, when you're doing that normal thing again, you're like, oh, well, this is why we're a couple. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's nothing to do with, like, I want to fuck a zillion people. You know what I mean? But it's like, this is why we're a couple.
Well, plus, you and your girl have been together for so long. Like, you're beyond, like, worrying. She's going to like this guy. Like, you're a legit long-term couple. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you're married. Like, so, you know... Should we go to a call?
No, a little history of the chair here.
Ducking stools or cucking stools. Chairs formerly used for punishment of disorderly. What kind of punishment? Dishonest tradesmen.
BBC. BBC punishment.
Yeah. And they say, and dishonest tradesmen in medieval Europe. You're a dishonest tradesman. Sit there and watch your wife be fucked by Godfrey.
By the way, I'll walk away from anybody in this world if I make a BBC reference and they go, hmm? I can't hang with that person.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know the basic BBC?
Yeah, if you think news, I can't be friends with you. I can't be friends with you. Yeah, I guess we should think if anyone called. If anyone's called.
Well, it's so funny. We rarely take calls in the show, and it's because I'd love to talk to the callers, but I always just feel like... When it starts dragging,
yeah,
like I just let it drag. I see the producers going like, "Buddy, you got to tell them to get to it." I go, "But they're telling me the whole thing."
I know. it's hard to just tell someone. Sorry, you're on the phone with Jay and I. What's your name?
Hi, I just wanted to ask you guys, in light of what's going on with Mark Maron and Joe Rogan, and pretty much like Charlie Kirk and everything, and I'm trying to kind of bring together here. I just wanted to see like what your reaction was, like what you guys felt upon that. The only reason why I bring it up is because in lieu of what's going on with Charlie Kirk, and I bring up Nick Fuentes is because Nick Fuentes is obviously someone that's on the conservative right that is within his own party criticizing.
Wait,
and,
miss, what do you say? What's going on with Rogan? Hold on. Slow down. What's going on with Rogan? I don't pay attention to any comedy drama.
I'm sorry.
What's going on with Mark and Joe?
Which one you having
so
sex with? Which one's watching?
Is,
are we same subject?
Yeah.
We know who's in the chair. I love Marin, but he's not going to. I can't picture Rogan in the chair jerking off watching Mark fuck somebody.
It's the ultimate alpha move.
Yeah, sure is.
No, but what's going on? I mean, it got to Brewer. It got to a lot of people. Mark Maron is being hasty, as he usually is, and bitter upon comics.
He's being hasty?
Yeah, I love Maron, but...
Hasty is
what an odd term to use. Mark is behaving hastily.
What's going on is Maron is criticizing Joe Rogan as being the end all be all with what's going on. And I just kind of wanted to see what your perception is. Like, as far as like Mark Maron can look at Joe.
You got it.
Miss, you got to slow down. I appreciate it, Megan, but you're going in that thing now where you're just having like that. You're spiraling a little bit. Just trust me. But we're it's okay. We all get this way. Just hang on one second. Hang in there. We'll talk to you. Don't behave hastily. We don't want to be Mark Maron hastily behaving.
If you have the picture, Nick Fuentes, I've done this on all my shows so far. Nick Fuentes standing to Dave Smith at Gas Digital. The jacket Nick Fuentes is wearing.
Oh.
Screams virgin. This is it's an acid washed.
Oh, yeah.
I wish you could see the standing picture of them next to each other because he's wearing khakis. Just sneakers. And that jacket, though, everyone's mom had this jacket.
Yes, they did.
Acid washed. Not a cuff, necessarily. Just elastic in the denim at the wrists.
I'll tell you one thing, though. He's got a damn good head of hair.
Guy's got a thick head of
hair.
He
has
man.
A Herb Tarlick from WKRP in Cincinnati. That's my friend, my 50-year-old friend. That's what Herb Tarlick looks like. He has a hell of a head of hair on him, that kid.
Dude. That jacket makes me so happy.
Yeah, believe me. Yeah, you're not sitting anybody else in the chair in that outfit.
Yeah. You're in the chair.
But as far as Mark and Joe, like I don't weigh in on what other people are saying. Like, that's the problem with the whole planet is we're not instead of looking at issues, we're watching what other people are saying about the issue. Just make your own decisions. I don't give a shit what those guys think.
It's so interesting that you're the person. I remember early on, I think Keith was funny. He was kind of giving us like the rundown of like New York. And I think the first time that I disparaged a comic to somebody like a booker of something. And I called Keith to be like, haha, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
And Keith was like, nah, he's like, you don't fuck with anybody else's like money. The business will sort itself out.
Yeah.
You're not here to sabotage anybody. And he goes, take a note from Norton. He goes, you could ask Norton about a comic that you know he doesn't like. And he just goes, good guy. like great guy or something. He's always just very just even.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not getting involved.
Even if I know, won't get back to the guy. Like, it's not even about, it's almost like you, there's something, I just never want to fuck with somebody, like you said, somebody else's money. Sure. Like,
this is not your job to be the decider of that.
Yeah, I don't care. Right. Yeah, it's true, but it's tempting. I mean, I love to gossip and I love to hear it.
Of course. Yeah. No, talking shit with your friends, what Ben said, the difficulty is, again, podcasting and all this stuff happened on us. So you're shit talking with your friends. You can very easily get wrapped up and realize, like, oh, hey, 250,000 people watch this every week.
Yeah.
Right, that's going to get out there, huh?
But it's funny. I'm like, I don't like to do it. And then she says that Joe and Maren, I'm like a hen. I'm like, oh, what's the trouble? Who's me? What did Mark say? I can't
listen.
What
we've done so far is we figured out Joe fucks and Maren sits in the chair.
Yes, but he's hasty.
I know it was
What makes people happy? Everyone loves when I talk about Steven Sanger. I remember the first time I called him Steven Sanger. His people like, they're not going to know you mean Steven Singer. And he's like, yes, they'll know. What other singer? What other singer? What a non-improving fool. The I hate Steven Singer guy. If you don't know who he is, then you haven't been paying attention. He was named one of America's leading jewelers. Almost 18,000 jewelers in America. Almost all of them are creeps. And less than 50 have received this honor. It's another reason why most other jewelers hate him. Steven is a jeweler you can trust. He does have the best guarantees, the best warranties, the perfect price, 365 days a year. He's always got the best value on real diamond jewelry. No bullshit sales. None of that fake discount pricing games crap where he'll like raise the price just to go, look, I lowered it. He's very honest and very consistent. It's easy and fun. Just easy and fun. Steven's easy and fun as far as being a date is concerned. We've gone out before and he puts out immediately in the car. As long as you buy a ring. That's why he's considered one of the most trusted jewelers in America. No one does real diamonds better. I've got my wife's engagement ring there and I've gotten countless gifts for other ladies there. I've given countless escorts. Steven Singer Jewelers. Oh, someone is ringing the bell. Let's see who it is. Let's see who could possibly be ringing the bell. Experience the difference at Steven Singer Jewelers online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Fast and free shipping. IHateStevenSinger.com. Someone is at my door. I hope it's Steven Singer. It's Jay. Are we still recording? Yep. That was Big Jay, by the way. He forgot his bag. So Mike gave it to him. And it's like, that's the craziness. That's why you got to sit through the live reads. Someone forgets something, they come back for it. Thanks, Steven Singer.
What she's discussing is Maren kind of made the rounds going around doing the Austin scene. It's just like, you know, racist-y, homophobic, transphobic, you know, alpha dog guys, which... sure, there's an argument. Like, I mean, there's like a, you know, you could find anything you're looking for anywhere. You know what I mean? So it's like, but Maren, but that was Maren's sort of his thing. Like, he gave me my first job doing, I did warm-ups on his radio
show. Was that the
Never
Morning Mind, Sedition or no?
Never Mind the Buzzcocks, it was called.
Was it a TV show?
Short-lived, yeah.
I did that. I did it with, with Coolio and with the woman from Berlin.
Oh, yeah,
who sings
yeah.
Take My Breath Away. Yeah. Was it 2000?
It's 2001 maybe. Yep, 2001.
Wow.
Oh no, that's the.
When, the there's a British version.
It's the British version, and then Mark Maron's one.
When did Mark's? Maybe 2001. You would know. I thought it was around 2001. Oh, 2002. All right, both.
That makes sense. I started comedy in '97, and when I came up here, Kirk got a job writing on it, Metzger, yeah. And then they lost their audience warm up guy after like the first day, and. You know, Kurt was like, hey, my roommate,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah. So he got me that gig to do that. And Mark was good with it and let me do it. It was a really cool thing. And like, he really did. He gave me that kind of like that first gig. And I've always thought Mark was like funny in his thing, but it's like, if it makes sense, again, there's always the important thing that I don't think we have enough anymore. Like, I used to the comedy barbecues were so great because you're humanizing people that maybe you normally just shit on.
That's right.
At the comedy club all day. And now you're like talking about football and something else.
Yeah.
It's like a human. So it's like, I think Mark is a good dude and a fun guy and whatever his things are. I think he's selling a special He's going, finishing with WTF. He's going to need to tour and make money and sell tickets. So I think he went provocative on a thing and just took a shot at something. It doesn't affect him either way.
No. And I love, I mean, I've known Joe for a long time. And Mark, I've known, like, Mark was one of the first guys to be nice to me in New York. Like, yeah, you don't forget that. Like, established guys, like guys who are respected. But he always was very warm and he treated, and I know that he likes to argue with people, but he always treated me great. That's, I don't agree with him about Rogan.
But he does like a curmudgeon thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everybody was a character. And instead, it's a shame almost when that character, like, almost, like, takes your legacy, like, away in some way. Like, how many people, like, I remember when Todd Lynn passed away. He was a comedian who, like, just was in a lot of beef with people all the time. Just, and he did. He just said the shittiest stuff and did try to, like, fuck with people to somewhat to their, with their career.
Yeah.
As far as, like, at least working, like, the New York club spots.
That's right.
He would be a dickhead to a lot of people. And yet, when he died, I was still like, when people were kind of like, good riddance, motherfucker, I'm like, ah, oh, come on, man. Like,
yeah,
Todd's,
never.
It's like, we Todd's like around. He's like, he's like a character in our lives. Like, how many times did he really affect your life that negative, you know?
That's
like,
right. Oh, he was one of our guys. Todd, he went blind first. He got diabetes, and I saw him at the Chicago Comedy Festival. I remember sitting with Patrice in like this lounge area, and I think Todd got walked in. I think that was the last time I saw him. But he was another guy who I always got along with, even though I could see why people wouldn't have liked him.
Oh, like, yeah, I had personal things with him where we would almost get into it, but it's just like, still, I said, I had things with him where like we had to be like, where I had to be stopped from like going at him outside the cellar. And like, still, when he died, I was still like, nah, but come on, man. It's like a character in our lives. Like, I don't know how everyone take that so like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Like, but anybody who you see all the time, whether like the dickhead or not, like.
It's hard when they're gone. It just, there's something like, wow, that person is just not around anymore. There's a finality to it that I've never, even in my 50s, I've never gotten used to the finality of, especially someone in the business, because you see them so casually and then they're just dead and you're like, ugh.
Yeah, and then you read it and you're like, what the fuck? I know. And then it feels bad when it's like that one girl who got like the fentanyl cocaine in LA and everybody died and I'm like, I don't know any of those people. Then you feel bad too. I'm like, shit.
Kate Quigley.
Yeah.
She's okay.
She's okay, but everybody else in the house died, and it's such a thing where it's just like, oh man, it's like I wish I knew their names more.
I didn't know them, but there was another guy. There was a comedian in Brooklyn. I think he committed suicide, and I, you know, there's a lot of guys you just don't know, but I still kind of feel it. They're like, because so many people you know are depressed. I'm like,
oh yeah,
I didn't know him, but he must have been a good dude if all these people are miserable.
So funny. When did do you like? So you can't even pinpoint a day. I was asking Lewis and Dave this today too. Like, of where you weren't, didn't have your finger on the pulse, though, of the daily goings on of the New York comedy scene. I am a stranger to it. Yeah. The only club that I'll do pretty much now when I'm in town for a weekend, which is rare anyway, too, is I'll go do spots to stand, because those can be whatever I want kind of early.
Yeah.
To get in and out of there. And then it's like, when I go in the green room, I'm like, oh, I'm in their green room.
That's right.
Like, these kids aren't in my green room. I'm in there, because I used to go in there and be like, and I do. But I'm like, I'm not going to say any things. I've gone in there before and I'm going, yo, they're like cranking music.
Yeah.
Like loud fucking music. They're cranking it in there and like barely, they're talking over it and everyone's just kind of loudly doing it. And I'm like sitting in the corner, like either smoking or whatever. Like, and but I'm like, oh, I'm in their room though. These are the people who every day feel comfortable coming in here and know
that's
all
right.
The staff. And some of them are fucking the staff and trying to, or fights with these people. And these things with each other. I don't know anyone's name.
It's weird to be on the other on the age thing. Like I was at the cellar last night, and Keith, and at the table was Ricky Velez and Aziz, and Casey, our Sharmina, who's a very very funny comic, and one of the SNL cast members who just got on. I forget his name. He's very funny. But I was, you know, thank God for Keith. And I've never said that before. But I'm like, it's the only time I'll ever say that. But a guy in my age group who's just. You know what I mean? We understand each other because we're from that group that's kind of mean to each other. And they were all cool. It was a fun hang, but it was like everybody there is just younger. And you're like, yeah, this is, I'm kind of
it's the progression
hanging around their business. This is how it happens.
And it is. And it didn't. And I don't remember like when it happened. Like I said, I had to learn to get over the initial like shitty thought of like, oh, well, how about, you know, especially when we're doing like, you know, we do broadcasting and stuff and you need guests and the new up-and-coming people, and they start saying names to you, and you're like, who the fuck is this?
That's right.
And it's like, I was going to stop doing that, because like, maybe the, you know, you find out like the third funniest person working in New York, and you're like,
yeah.
Oh, I've just never heard their name, because I'm not here.
That's
it's not
right.
Their fault.
Yeah, like, it's not like, it's not a slight on them, but I'm just,
I don't have time to have my finger on the pulse of all of it. So I think it's great that like, that the see these people coming up.
Yeah,
now.
And I don't want to see, like, not that I don't want to see the young guys, but it's like I know that they have so many great years ahead of them. And yeah. I know I am, believe me, I am so finished. But I've kind of come to, like, when you see guys that have all these bright things and they're on the upswing, I don't begrudge them at all because a lot of them are really funny. But I'm like, I just know where I'm at. I'm
are you,
done.
Do you have, are you able to have comfort in home, though? Do you have that?
In here?
Yeah, I don't mean just like a physical comfort, but I'm saying like I noticed we bought this house this year, which is great. It's got all the stuff in it that I would want my house to have to not leave the house and just spend a summer in my house. And for the first time in a long time, I had 3 weekends off in a row this summer. And at the end of the first weekend, I was like, I'm worried about the next 2 weekends.
Yes.
And by the third weekend, I was like, I may have to go like, to see who's performing somewhere and go like, you know, what I'm not even supposed to be here. I feel like it's wrong. It just feels wrong.
It feels wrong. You know, it's like that feeling you'd get when you'd cut school and then like, you're like, yeah, I'm out. I don't have to go in today. And then you watch The Price is Right. Mm-hmm. And then as the afternoon came, you just feel like antsy, like I fucked up. I shouldn't, this is wrong.
And you're like, now I'd be having that feeling of getting out of school like everybody else.
Like, yes, but
and
now
I really
I'm stuck
did
in the
jack
house.
Shit. Yeah. Also, I've done nothing.
I ate an egg salad sandwich and I sniffed my belly button. I did zero. But yeah, man, a couple weekends off, now that I'm not doing radio anymore, I'm out almost every weekend. Yeah. And I don't mind it. It's like, because I love doing the gigs and sure. The material comes together so much faster when you're doing hours every week.
The travel's the motherfucker. Sucks. That's what kills you at that point. That's what you're getting paid for completely.
It's getting on the plane, yeah.
Travel. It's like shows are mindless. It's like, not, I mean, mindless is the wrong word, but I mean, like, that's the fun part.
They're fun.
Yeah,
they're
you get
easy.
To go to a place where everyone's there to see you and do a show. It's great.
Yeah. I'm like, I get to make 30 people happy. You know, it ain't 2007, unfortunately. Yeah.
The problem is... the problem is just, as it with the coming with doing it for so long, too, is that learning now, like, well, I for some reason, when I need to take a nap before the shows, I only get exhausted, tired 1 hour before I have to get ready. And then when I wake up in that 1 hour, I feel horrible.
Yeah.
And these are lessons you're like, when am I going to learn this? Just fight through and stay awake.
Just stay awake and go, because the adrenaline always carries you through the show. And
absolutely.
Then you'll be fine after. Do we have another call? Yeah. I know we do. Let's see. Okay.
It's like, what do you think about the beef with Sam Triple? Like, yeah.
I don't know anything about. I know that Mark had been on the, but I don't. I just don't pay attention when guys are. Yeah. Yes. What's your name?
Hey, I just had a quick question for you guys. Is there a subject that you guys never talk about, or something that you just won't discuss on the stage?
I mean, for me, it's my wife having a penis. I said I shouldn't. Don't try to ride that into the sunset, so to speak. No.
What did I watch?
Is there anything for you?
You did some show where you discussed what you were going to call sword fight. My wife's nuts.
Oh,
why did you not go with it? That's one of the best titles I've ever heard.
I know.
For a show in my
I
life.
Love it. I don't know why we didn't.
I mean, my sword
wife's
great.
Nuts. No, my no, but my nuts. Wife's nuts is exclamation point. Is I don't know why we didn't. We may bring it back, though, and we could always bring it back as that, because that is.
It's so funny.
Yeah, I think I mean, it
that,
is.
That
too.
Title it, like, is going to catch people alone.
My wife's nuts, yeah.
My wife's nuts.
Yeah, I don't know why we didn't. There was a reason. I thought the sword fight might be easier to sell. Like, I was thinking with sometimes with ads or whatever. But yeah, in hindsight, it was like, yeah, I wish we had done that.
Subjects off that are sore to like off stage would just be something that's sore to friends. Do you know what I mean? Something that's like, you know, I won't go up there and like start talking about something that like really
right.
fucks with like a friend involved yeah. in something or whatever. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, I think there's no subject off limits at all. It's just how it's going to be like, taken in by people.
Radio's like, easier like, too, because you can always you can talk about it with a certain tone. That on stage, there's a little rush to get to it, because you don't want to just stand up there and speak. You know, radio is a little easier.
It's why we almost say about. I mean, Twitter, I guess, was the worst one ultimately for that, where it's like,
it's getting negative.
You can't take tone out of comedy, or you're fucked.
Yeah,
like you can't take tone, and that's what Twitter. I mean, that's you know. That's what happened to Kumia. I mean, ultimately, you know what yeah. I mean? Like, he should go, there's no tone. If he would have gone on that rant next morning, I've always said, I'm sure a zillion people have said that, but if he just would have waited, if he could have gotten
that's
to the
right.
night and gotten to the show the next day and been sitting there across from, be it Patrice or something, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, whatever it was that would, like,
not
even
Patrice,
that out.
Not at that point. That would have been a really ugly fucking episode.
Yuck.
Yelling at a coffin.
But you know what I'm saying? But even someone who, like, again, there's also like something, he tweeted that in like an angry rage in a moment of something that he was like upside down furious about. You also need in your life those evening factors where I said, forget Patrice, whether it have been Sherrod or whoever, who would have been like, shut up, you old racist. And then everyone would have laughed together and did a thing. It would have been like, it just like, it got skewed because like you're just getting zero tone fury.
Yeah. And I think, I forget what it was, because I've said things in interviews that were quoted a certain way. And I'm like, oh, that's right. They don't pick up inflection when they're writing it. And it's a lesson you think you would know, but like you're talking about something, you're casual about it. And then in print, it looks like you're making a proclamation from a balcony.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I didn't say it that way. But it's like, there's no way to fix that because people read, look what he said. Fucking idiots.
Yeah. And it lasts forever. And that's why I said now they try, and I've even tried it, but they have to make it an easier process of how to do it. But now with text, almost everything, it's like you can go italics, bold this.
Yeah.
They even have effects now where it'll go like, sheesh. You know, like the letters will get bigger and come back down. And you're like, they are trying to give you some tone in your things. That's been the killer of everything. You know, it's almost like when you're like broadcasting with Rogan sometimes where you're trying to be funny, but he's so used to like scientists being in the room that.
Yeah.
People, so, you know, you text something and they go, I don't understand. And you're like, oh, it's stupid, dumb nonsense. Yeah. Like, you're not supposed to understand it, really. I meant nothing by it. Like, it was a complete joke.
But the emojis and stuff do help. Like, this is like old man chat. But it's like they do help, though, because you see it just bald with fucking just the words. And you're like, I got to put like a fucking little tear so it looks like I'm being funny.
The problem is I put LOL after everything possible.
Yeah.
I mean, so much. Like, it's like terrible news. Mom's dead. LOL.
Yeah, but again, it's just a reflex. So it's not just in print because it all looks bad in print. Everything looks terrible in print.
Christine saved my ass so many times for so many. Just the two I always remember where she got, which I'm like, she's right. Because they still seem like such benign things to me. But she was like, you're not preaching to the choir here. You're preaching to the choir and then an equal amount of people who are waiting for you to fuck up.
That's right.
And I'm like, yeah, she's right. And the one was it was some picture of Lizzo wearing a purple dress at a thing. I called her. I said something about Barney I was going to tweet out. And she goes, don't. She's like, say it. Say it on the radio
That's
tomorrow.
Right. Say it.
She was like, but don't tweet that. And I was like, and the other one was BTS, the Korean boy band.
Yes.
They accepted an award like from somewhere else and they weren't there. So they gave like a video they sent in. And when they're, you know, there's a bunch of super Asian-y guys.
Yeah.
And at the end, when they're all waving goodbye, one of them just kind of does it, like, you know, he just gives like that. And I took a picture of that, and I wrote a hair Hitler. And she was, and she was like, and I go, oh, this is going to be so funny. And she goes, that is really funny. And she caught me, I mean, when I was like pretty close to done. She goes, wait, what are you doing? I go, I'm going to tweet that picture with the thing. She goes, no, it's just like, she goes, look at social media like NBC, like you're doing an NBC set.
That's right.
It's being combed over that much. And I'm like, yeah, she's right.
And they try to get you. Yeah, saying it is different, though. You're right, because you can hear someone's joke. It's harder to nail someone when they say something and they're being funny and people are laughing.
Yeah, I had a thing with it. I took a picture. So every time I would try, I'm like, I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah.
At doing some social media. And I was in San Diego, and there was two homeless guys laying on the ground asleep, big spoon, little spoon. I mean, cuddled up.
Yeah.
It's not cold, San Diego. So I go, homo less sexuals or something, or home, something, some other two words, two choices. I was like, this or this. And then I started looking. I'm like, oh, this will be fun. Let me get into this. It'll be the fun thing. It's just like stand up, right?
Yeah.
I'm laying something funny out there. We'll see if we get some interaction with it. Third comment's like, punching down, dude, really nice. And you're like, oh, I don't have the time for this. I'm like, never mind then.
Yeah.
I thought I'm just talking. It's like, I thought this is supposed to be like the elbow in your buddies.
Yeah,
like,
having fun, yeah.
Yeah, you're my fans, right? You follow me because you know what I do. So waiting for people to, instead, most people don't follow you because they like what you do.
There's always that weird little thing too, especially when you're working for a corporation. Like, you do have to think of it. Like, that's why people are anonymous online, because they don't want the corporation they work for to know that they're, so like, Sirius doesn't really care. I'll give them credit where they don't fuck with you about content. Like, they didn't fuck with us about content. But you also, like, I don't want to be an idiot and give them reason. Like,
no,
you,
for
I,
sure,
I don't want
to
hand them a reason.
No, yeah. No, exactly. You're never looking for it. It's still, it's a company.
Yeah.
Like I say, I understand that.
They are a company at the end of the day, like everybody else. And how is it doing it with Bobby? How's Bobby adjusting? I mean, I know you and Dan did it for so long, but Bobby's kind of found his vibe there.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. No, Bobby blended in so pretty. He's probably the only person that could have done it who jumped into that spot there, because Dan was like big shoes to fill, just also in the sense of our chemistry.
Sure, sure.
Me and Dan. So it's like me and Bobby. It was interesting. And I don't know if this would have been a great tandem. You know, because again, Bobby came up, like, you guys were all like the guys who were in already. Even though it's so funny, again, the stretch, like, you guys weren't doing comedy that much longer than me.
No.
You were just the crew that was in there.
We had gotten in right before,
already. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, a couple years, maybe you guys were, like, up there, like 3-4 years. Everyone was kind of known. I mean, Keith's been around since the fucking 60s.
Yeah, literally, he's open from a mom's bagel. I almost tripped on that. He would drive her, and then she died, and it was Wanda. Yeah, he was actually driving when Sammy lost his eye. That was Keith. Looking at this phone.
Oh, man. But yeah, but when we first got, I'm trying to remember what the point of that was.
Wait, you were talking about people, the crew, guys ahead of you, me and Bobby Kelly.
Oh, but Bobby, yeah. So when first, you know, same thing why me and Patrice got a TV show once, just introducing movies. And I did good in the audition, ate shit on the show.
Oh.
Because I didn't audition with Patrice. And there's a different dynamic. I auditioned with Sherrod, who I felt contemporary with.
Sure.
So I was like, oh, me and Sherrod had a good back and forth. When I got there with Patrice, I'm looking at Patrice like, God, you'd be funny, and I'll, like, laugh. Like, I'll be the little fucking, you're so funny. And that thing, and Bobby, I had that with, too. You know, he was, like, one of the guys. He came back from L.A.
Yeah.
Then he's doing all the stuff. And Bobby was also, you know, a lot of people know, it's like, not a different human being across the board, but, I mean, an unmarried, untethered, not father, Bobby Kelly, was a very different person.
Yes.
And that change in perspective of him, I think, makes for a very interesting show, because he's got such, the stories, that's all still there. It's all still in him. I love that, but it's like he's a different guy, you know.
He's a different guy now.
And I think it's great. It's very fun to watch.
Yeah, he is on the straight and narrow, and he really is. Like, I know Bobby very well, but it's weird because I knew him before. He was a fun hang.
Bobby was a fun hang. Oh, yeah.
And Bobby, boy, he ran through him. I mean, a legend. I know people look at Bob like, wow, he's an ass. And you're not wrong. We agree. But man, did Bobby have a run. And that's, I mean, you can't overstate the run he
had
was on.
The girl who did, and you probably know she is too, the girl who did our first headshots, me and Kevin Hart, was a, I guess a server at one point at the Olive Tree. And she ended up making a book of using a bunch of people's headshots and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely beat that, yeah.
This is not a bad, because they just know they hooked up.
Yeah,
and, like, and I said, this isn't like a, I don't think it's, crazy thing to say, but you know, again, it's over 20 some years ago, but when I found that, because like right when she just did my headshots, I was just like, this girl is so fucking hot and stunning, like New York photographer-y loft space. She was like everything, even that stupid short haircut they all had, but looked good on her. She was so, and then I just heard it because, like, of course
Bobby
got, and she was of course madly in love, you know, like, and Bobby was more like, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
And no one believes that you see Bobby now. And everyone's like, what? I'm like, yo, this guy was lining him up and knocking him down.
He really was. And there was nothing worse than you'd like a waitress at the cellar and have a crush on her. Like, oh, maybe I'll ask her out. Then you see him and her walking out of that secret room downstairs. You're like, oh, for Pete's sake.
That's the Lewis, too. Every girl at Lewis. Lewis gets them all the second they walk through the door. Lewis J. Gomez. Yeah. And then you end up, there's a girl at some point start throwing you something. And you're like, oh. I was like, yeah, well, you know, come hang out at blah, blah, blah. She goes, it's not going to be weird, right? Like, I may have hooked up with one of your friends. I'm like, it's Lewis, and it does matter. Goodbye.
Yeah, Lewis. Like,
it's the, and they always go, I didn't say it was Lewis. He goes, who is it? Was it? You walked in the room, right, that he was in. He tried, and you're clearly, well, fuck anybody if you're throwing it at me.
Yeah.
So you fuck Lewis already.
Lewis really does. He's got kind of Hall of Fame numbers. I mean, underrated. And doesn't care. He does, you know. He really does not give a fuck. It's crazy. He's almost untouchable because he just doesn't care. Walks out with his dumb dick hanging out. And if you're for it, you're for it. And I don't see it. Like, I like Lewis, but I don't see him as being a ladies' man. But he is. I guess they feel safe with him.
He lives unabashed.
He has juicy lips and he can wrestle. I don't know.
Yeah, he lives unabashed. No, I think he's got the gift of gab.
I guess he just does.
Like, he's like a good, like, he's good. He's always been. When Lewis was at his, you know, heaviest, when I knew him, you know, I mean, times where he was just like a guy with a lip ring and fucking breath smelled bad half the time. He was like a street kid, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he was really like figuring it out still in his early 20s. And you know, I mean, you see that he still always had a fucking great looking chick. Maybe she was like a young dummy.
Yeah.
Or something. It wasn't that these were like, you know, cream of the crop, like this is actually a great chick.
Yeah.
But he was always fucking a chick where you're like, damn.
Yeah.
She's very good looking.
And you could see him with the dummy. I mean, that's fine. He wasn't exactly fucking, he wasn't lighting up the SATs either.
I got top 5% in LSATs.
All right, let's do one more call. I know Jay has the bonfire tonight, so like, I could talk to you all day, man, but I know you have you're leaving here shortly. Yes, who's on with Jay and Jim?
So we had a weird thing pop up today. I'm a disabled drummer, right? And a cymbal company that also, same company that does for Guns N' Roses, for
Def Leppard.
I was gonna say, yeah, this guy's probably made about my Def Leppard reference earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they want to sponsor me, and I really want to take the opportunity, but I'm worried because there's still a small amount you have to pay for certain things, and I don't know if I should just let this one go and see if another one comes down the line, or
wait, you'd have to pay them for something.
You're paying
like 20%.
Why would you have to pay anything if they're sponsoring you?
That was kind of my thought towards it initially too. I'm not gonna lie.
You know, unrelated, dude. And while we're talking, I'd like to know if you can give me $100,000. That would help me be able to get my $1 million out of this crazy escrow I got it in.
Yeah.
And then I'll be able to give you back $200,000.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm like, is this a honeypot situation?
I'll see my routing numbers. But like,
no, I understand it, dude. Because I send Stevens. What a non-improv stroke victim. What a fucking stroke idiot. But yeah, no, you shouldn't have to. I was going to say I sent Steven Singer money. I should have picked an advertiser who didn't have two S's in his name. Fucking alliterating idiot. Yeah, you shouldn't have to pay anybody to sponsor you.
That's crazy. That's what he paid. Yeah, this is like, this sounds like when you become a mall actress, when they get you at the mall to take the headshots.
Yeah, they get the money first. You shouldn't pay anything for someone to sponsor you, sir. Just keep playing the drum.
But they said if I get these headshots, I'll be a star.
Yeah.
I just...
Now you got what it takes, kid, for sure.
Like,
you can give me 10% of your income and I'll sponsor you.
Sure, absolutely. I'll put ads on your fucking, if you have a podcast or whatever, I'll throw you a few dollars.
Big J presents Disabled Drummer Guy, Volume 1. Now that's what I call single-armed music, Volume 1.
And I hope you're not a good drummer. That's even better.
That's what I call 1/4-time drumming.
All right, thank you for the call, sir. This has been a real delight. I'm really happy.
They call him Hi-Hat.
No, thank you, guys. Hey, love.
By the way, before we go, was it they, them, or them,
they? Them, they.
I love that you did that. I was like, God damn it, that was conceptually great.
Oh, thank you.
Red and blue. It was fucking so well done, man. And again, the clips, the guy talked about the clips, really funny.
And it's funny, we did them, they on purpose because it's the purpose. It's purposely flipped from the thing, because when you get the inevitable, like, don't they have enough hard enough life that you're done? You go, who? You go, the train goes, oh, that's they, them.
Yeah, this is them, they. It's
a little
different.
Yeah, this is a different thing. I'm talking about the audience. And it's just like, it's always, you always got a slight inflammatory, planned inflammatory.
Dude, it was one of those things, though, that when I saw it, I was like, this is so good. Like, it was so smart and funny. And did you film on this? I think I was in Vegas.
Comedy Works in Denver.
Oh, okay. That wasn't the one you shot in Vegas. I love the look of it, the colors. I was just like, sometimes someone does something and you're like, God damn it.
It's great. Great producers and everything. It's Eric Abrams directed it. Jordan Levy produced it. He does a bunch of like comic stuff.
Yeah.
And stuff. Yeah. It was really, that room is so great too.
I'm going there tomorrow actually.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, Jay, I love you, man. You're
love
so
you too,
good,
man.
Thank
you so much for having me.
Anytime. You're such a good, you're one of the guys I wanted to get on. You talk about anything and you just have a good show today.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much for calling my show. The episode's over, it's time to go. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. I hope everything works out. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out.